This is the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
The other day, my producer, Gabby, was listening to the Patrick Madrid Show, and a listener had a question about marital debt. A lot of folks are not familiar with this term, and I can tell you it has nothing to do with financial debt. In fact, the marital debt comes and goes as a heated topic on social media. Joining us live this morning from Kennett Square, Pennsylvania, is international speaker and evangelist Damon Owens to talk about the marital debt and what couples need to know about it. Damon is the executive director of joyfuleverafter.org and the National Parish Engagement Officer for Communio.org. He has trained over 20,000 couples in marriage, natural family planning, and the theology of the body. Good morning. Before we get into the marital debt, I just wanted to tell you that I love your theme on the front page of your website, Choose Joy. So appropriate during this Easter season, which is supposed to be the season of joy.
Thank you so much for that. And that's something that's been perennial in really almost 25 years of ministry, marriage preparation, enrichment. I'm trying to be, there's an authentic reality that we talk about love, which we're going to talk about right now with the marital debt. And there's a distortion in that in our culture. But I found that joy is one of those things you just can't fake. You know, it wells up. It's the fruit of love. You can fake happy, but you can't fake joy. And I think that's a good jumping off point to speak about something as tender and yet something as central of this idea of marital debt. Now, for those who are not familiar with that term, it comes to the church's teachings a long time regarding the relationship between the husband and the wife and the marital embrace, the sexual embrace. And much of it is quoted scripturally with St. Paul when he reaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 to 6. And he says, concerning matters that I wrote you, it's well for a man not to touch a woman, but because of the temptation to immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not rule over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not rule over his body, but the wife does. And here's the key that gets us to this phrase, marital debt, at least the term. Do not refuse one another, except perhaps by agreement or for a season, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and then come together again, lest Satan tempt you through lack of self-control. I say this by way of concession, not of command. I wanted to read that whole thing, John, because if we try to self-interpret that, this is where all the heat you spoke about comes on social media and also different ages and times. The church is a beautiful echo, catechine of God and the great gift that he's given us to know who we are, to know whose we are and why we're here. And marriage has played a central role from Genesis to Revelation. And what happens at the marriage altar, at marriage, is an exchange that is many ways beyond our intellect, and yet it's calling to it. It's beyond our heart, and yet it's fulfilling it. And this mutual obligation is where we get this idea that we owe one another love.
Well, I'm so glad that you brought up that scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 7 of St. Paul, because, as you said, it's so easy to misinterpret what it actually means. And, you know, Holy Mother Church, in her wisdom throughout the centuries, has written about this. Going back to St. Thomas Aquinas, there's been papal encyclicals about it. How should we be understanding this powerful scripture from St. Paul?
Yeah. First, I think it's important to recognize that there is, in a certain sense, debt, in that sense that we owe one another love. We owe one another what we pledge at the altar, this exchange of persons, the exchange, and as a body person, that's our body, soul, and spirit. I am yours, and you are mine. You know, there's a powerful promise, vow, pledge that's made at the altar that establishes marriage. And it also recognizes, as we've taught for tens of thousands of couples and for years, is that it's not until the couple give of themselves in a manner worthy of marriage that the marriage is sealed, perfected, and brought to completion. So what that means is that this idea of consummation, here's another word, bringing to its highest ability, the consuma, the sexual embrace, the marital embrace, is in certain sense, John Paul II, is the body making the pledge. And as we're body persons, it's the sealing, perfecting, and bringing to completion. All that to say, marital intimacy, sexual intimacy in marriage is essential. It not only seals, perfects, and brings it to completion at the marriage, throughout marriage, it is a way that we renew this wedding vow, that we bring to the fore, that we make present again, that I am yours and you are mine. And what Paul was getting at in the strongest sense is clarified in two millennia of teaching that this is all understood and can only be understood in terms of the debt of love. I made the vow, I give myself to you. Now, here's what I think is the biggest challenge, is that we can speak very clearly about the principles, the theology, the truth about this exchange, and we should never diminish it. It's real. And yet when it comes to real marriages, John, when it comes to the brokenness and the way that we hurt each other as husband and wife, the way that we don't fulfill that debt of love, this is a very tender area. And I really encourage our couples in our network, Joyful Ever After, and folks that I can speak to, that when you hear teaching like this, you cannot dismiss it, but you also can't take it as marital advice. There's a big gap between applying this in mutual respect and tender consideration. For example, there is a marital debt, but neither one of you should be a debt collector.
Great line. Yeah, the Catholic teaching has been consistent throughout the centuries that spouses should engage in the marital act. It is a sacrament, and barring some legitimate reason, we have to remember that sex is holy and healthy, and it's good for our spouses, so it Amen. Should not be pushed off to the side.
Amen. And also be reactive. So let's take a look at our culture a bit, agreeing with you 1,000%. In our culture, there's such a distortion of the sexual gift. It's not a gift, it's commodity. You know, we exchange it, we sell it, we buy it. And we have so debased it as a broader culture that the reaction of faithful folks like us is to separate, is to say, well, let's leave it there. We won't even touch it. You know, we won't even talk about it. We'd be more holy by not even engaging in it. And we're giving up one of the greatest gifts that God has given humanity, the capacity to give and receive ourselves so fully, so freely, so faithfully, so totally, that it has the power to create a new person. That with clarity of heart and mind, the awe, the wonder, the fascination that this is even possible should put us on our knees, not running away, thinking it's some kind of temptation away from God. No, God has so blessed us with this that we need to embrace it in its fullness, reject its partial, but at the same time recognize this power can cut both ways if we don't render it and wield it with that mutual respect and tender consideration.
Damon, can you talk about the objective and the subjective dimensions of marital love?
Well, as I said in the beginning, you know, we focus on joy because it's this fruit, this reality that can't be fake. But love has been distorted in the sense that we expect it to be a feeling, that we put one of the dimensions of the experience of love in the affect, how it affects me. And the reality, though, there's an objective reality to love. I will your good. I am yours. We make pledges of love. What God and Christ did at the cross is an objective reality. It's something that's actually real, tangible, and you can point to it. But there's also a subjective experience of it. What does that mean for me? And when it comes to marital love, when you stand at that altar and you marry one another in this Western Catholic sense, the priest is there as a witness and others are there, the community, that public dimension of marriage, something real happens. And there's an objective reality that we have placed ourselves under one another's mission, submitte, and we submit to one another. I am yours and you are mine, and it entails everything that we are. And we can't diminish that. We have to hold that up in its objective reality, that the marriage vow is real and something changes in the cosmos, something changes in us. But then there's the subjective piece that says, okay, what does that mean for Damon Owens and Melanie Scott, now Melanie Scott Owens? What does that mean for us, given my unique, unrepeatable self? And that subjective reality doesn't speak against, it doesn't contradict what actually happened at the altar. It enfleshes it in the world in a way that has never been seen before. So we, as Paul also said, have to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. We have to do the work to uncover the mystery of ourselves in the impact of that promise and pledge, and the mystery of this other person that is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's a lifelong, if not an eternal gift. But it's also, last point here, it's preparation for what Christ has offered us. That the marriage of Adam and Eve in the beginning was the sign, the experience, that the need and the entrance of sin for commandments and for, you know, Paul's letter in Ephesians and Christ's redemption is all preparation for revelation, that Christ is the bridegroom and we're the bride, that what we learn in marriage is, in certain sense, the real marriage preparation to a bridegroom who loves perfectly. So this is a mission. It's a project. It's a gift. It's a mystery. And we should live it with an awe, a wonder, and a fascination.
Damon, realistically speaking, what happens when one of the spouses does not live up to that marital debt, basically says no to the other spouse? How does that affect marriage? And also, is there any legitimate reason to abstain from marital relations, in your opinion?
So yes, and I would say this is the wounding that every one of us who are married interprets this idea of marital debt. Either I am owed this because I have been depleted, I have been diminished, or a demand, a collector, because my sexual drive, my interest is higher than my spouse. And we push it on men. Typically, there's a higher sexual drive, but it happens as well with women, right? There's a difference, a differential between it. And this is the place of the need for addressing the wound there and the reality that your sexual intimacy is a call for healing. It's not a call for debt collection. There is something missing when we don't have that mutual exchange of free and total and faithful and fruitful self-gift. And it doesn't have to be because I don't feel like it. Many times there's physiological issues there, but there's also other elements of intimacy. And we address this in our Epic Intimacy program here at Joyful Ever After: emotional, physical, intellectual, communicative. We're complex creatures, and the physical is never in isolation. It's, we need to address emotional disconnect, emotional wounds, what makes it difficult for me to enter into this promise that I've made. So all that to say, this is the work of marriage, and we cannot do it alone. You cannot do it in private. It's not merely spiritual. It's not merely physical. It's not merely anything. It is the totality of our humanity. You need help, prayer, spiritual direction, coaching, counseling, sometimes even professional therapy. These are modern gifts that help us to deepen our emotional, physical, and spiritual intimacy. And I will throw in Epic Intimacy. We can go to epicintimacy.org. It's a free introduction to emotional, physical, intellectual, communicative, epicintimacy.org. But also just recognize that you're not alone, that we are all in our marriages dealing one way or another with how we fulfill the debt of love, and particularly marital love that includes the great gift of our sexuality. Don't feel that something's wrong with you, that you're merely broken, but that there is a world of other couples that also are working out their salvation in a way that brings true joy.
Well, Damon, I really appreciate your clarity on this topic of marital debt, and thanks so much for being with us. It's been a joy.
I appreciate the opportunity. God bless you. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well. International speaker and evangelist Damon Owens, the co-founder and executive director of Joyful Ever After. Like what you just heard? Share it with your family and friends. And thanks for listening.